cauldron bubbling, streets turn into fog. Witch on a broomstick, riding through the smog. Cackling echoes, rats scurry fast. Potion in the pot, make this chaos last.
Welcome, Night Owls, to another spine-chilling episode of Midnight Tales, the podcast that lingers in the shadows, bringing you stories that haunt the darkest corners of your mind. I'm your host, and tonight we're counting down to Halloween with a tale that's sure to send a shiver down your spine. In this special episode, we delve into the world of a wicked witch who's tired of the usual Halloween tricks. Poison candy? Razor blades? That's child's play. This year, she's unleashing something far more sinister. Something that will haunt the town long after the jack-o'-lanterns rot away. So dim the lights, settle in, and prepare for a night of thrills as we bring you The Witch's Mischief, a tale of twisted magic, stolen childhoods, and the true spirit of Halloween. You're listening to Midnight Tales, and tonight the witch is watching. Visit us at midnighttales.org for more spooky stories. Now let's begin. The Witch's Mischief. There she sat, hunched over a crooked table, the witch of the Forgotten Woods. A strange, bubbling cauldron simmered at her side, its steam swirling up into shapes of jagged teeth and clawed fingers. The air in her lair was thick with the scent of mischief, damp earth, rotten leaves, and the faintest hint of burned sugar. She wrinkled her nose in delight. "Ah, yes, it's that time again," she croaked, her voice scratchy as the bottom of her broomstick. She glanced around her chaotic quarters, shelves lined with grimy jars of slithering things, stacks of spellbooks ancient enough to crumble if breathed upon too harshly, and one plump black cat lazily stretched across a dusty, blood-stained rug. Halloween, the witch's favorite night of the year, a night when the world softened its grip on reality and gave her a wink, a night when chaos reigned, and oh, how she adored a good, hearty helping of chaos. Her knobby fingers danced along a rusted cauldron, and her grin grew wide, sharp. "Wallaby this year," she murmured, leaning back in her rickety chair. The cackling laugh that escaped her was a melody of malice, echoing against the stone walls. "Razor blades in candy? Pff, done." How the children had shrieked when their gums bled red. But that trick had grown stale, like an apple left too long on the tree, shriveled and brown. "Poison sweets?" she scoffed. "Predictable." Though she did have a fondness for the news anchor's pale face as he warned parents with trembling lips to check their little darling's candy. "Check it all you like," she giggled, the venom's already in the laughter. And of course, there was the year of the cursed temporary tattoos. Ah, the joy of watching those harmless little skulls and butterflies blossom into real, writhing beasts under the children's skin. But even that had lost its novelty. Then there was the time she had raised the dead, an artful touch, she thought. A symphony of shuffling feet and moaning voices as long-forgotten ancestors rose from their graves, all to greet their unsuspecting descendants at the door. But necromancy, though thrilling, required far too much cleanup. Too many bony remnants left behind. Sloppy work, she chided herself, tapping her chin. No, this year needed something different. Something they talk about for decades. "My dear witch," she cooed to herself, "how to outdo yourself? You've set quite the standard." Her eyes sparkled with malicious curiosity. The trouble with malice, you see, is its need for surprise. It had to be fresh, like the first breath after a storm, or it lost its flavor. And the witch? Oh, she was a connoisseur of the wicked. It wasn't enough to frighten. No, it had to stick in their nightmares long after the jack-o'-lanterns had rotted away. "This year," she began, her voice a conspiratorial whisper as she stroked the cat, who promptly hissed and slunk away. "This year it must be grand." The fire crackled, as if in agreement. She chuckled low and wicked. "Yes, grand." She tapped a sharp, greenish nail against her lips, thinking, plotting, something they won't forget. And in that instant, deep within the twisted roots of her mind, the faintest seed of an idea began to sprout. Something wonderful. Something dreadful. The witch straightened, her chair creaking ominously. "Oh, my little ones," she mused to the unsuspecting children outside her lair. "You think you know fright. But this year, oh, this year I'll remind you what Halloween truly means." Her laugh echoed again, a sound like broken glass tumbling down a hill, bouncing off every stone along the way. Outside, the wind began to howl, rattling the branches of the trees. The witch's gnarled fingers twitched eagerly. Halloween was coming, and she had work to do. The search for originality. The witch stood, stretching her crooked spine with a series of unpleasant cracks that echoed through the dusty lair. "Now where to begin?" she mused aloud, wandering over to her wall of grimoires. Books upon books, bound in skin and fur, pages yellowed with age, crammed with every curse, hex, and trick ever brewed. She yanked one from the shelf, its cover etched with faded symbols that glowed faintly in the dim light. "The Grimoire of Grievous Pranks," she read aloud, brushing off a layer of dust. She flipped through the brittle pages, squinting at the tiny scrawl, each spell more devious than the last. "Cursed apples, too snow white. Talking pumpkins, too childish." Her finger tapped down each line, her lips curling in dismay. Nothing but old, tired tricks. One she tried and tested and perfected many times over. "What good is immortality if even the fun starts to rot?" she grumbled, tossing the book over her shoulder. It landed with a thud, sending a cloud of dust spiraling up in the air. She moved on to another tome, this one thick and bound with sinew, its title barely legible. "Malevolent Machinations for the Maliciously Inclined." The witch snickered, thumbing through the pages eagerly. "Possessed dolls?" she groaned. "Haven't those porcelain things done enough?" She shuddered, remembering how the parents had screamed louder than the children when the dolls' eyes began blinking on their own. "Ah, what about cursed trick-or-treat bags?" she muttered, but then quickly waved the idea away. Too subtle. She needed something that wouldn't just shop for a night, but would stick in their bones, keep them awake at night, staring into the dark with wide, terrified eyes. Something that would haunt them until the next Halloween, and maybe the one after that. She grabbed a few more grimoires, each containing its share of wicked ideas. Haunted doorbells, creeping shadows, sweets that shriek when bitten into. But nothing felt right. Each idea had been done, its flavor dulled by the passage of time, its malice made mundane. "Curse these predictable minds," she spat. "It seems mortals grow harder to scare with each passing century. Where's their imagination? Their capacity for terror?" Bah. In frustration, she kicked an old, withered broom that leaned against the wall. It clattered across the floor, knocking into a jar of glowing beetles that scurried away, offended by the disruption. And then, in the stillness that followed, something shifted in the room. Her enchanted mirror, a twisted, warped thing of ancient glass, began to shimmer. The witch tilted her head, her sharp eyes narrowing as the misty surface rippled and swirled. Slowly, the fog inside the mirror parted, revealing a glimpse of the town, just outside her cursed woods, where children bustled about, preparing for the night ahead. She watched them, noses pressed to store windows, admiring costumes that hung like specters on the racks. Ghosts, vampires, pirates, princesses, an entire parade of predictable characters. The witch's frown deepened, her nails tapping in irritation. "The same thing every year," she muttered. "Costumes. Sweets. Frights that vanish by morning. Where's the originality? Where's the fear?" But then, just as she was about to dismiss the scene, her eyes lingered on one boy. He was holding up a werewolf mask, its plastic fangs gleaming, his face alight with excitement. "I'll be the scariest this year," the boy crowed to his friends, pulling the mask over his head and growling playfully. His friends laughed, pointing out their own costumes, a witch, a skeleton, a mummy. All cheap imitations of things far beyond their understanding. The witch's lips curled into a slow, sinister smile. "Scary, you say?" she whispered, her voice like rustling leaves. "Oh, little ones, you've no idea." And that's when it hit her, the seed of an idea sprouting in her twisted mind. She straightened up, her grin spreading wide, teeth gleaming in the dim light. Why not let the children become the very monsters they pretended to be? Oh, not just for a night, no, no, but forever. Let them be trapped in their own ghoulish disguises, the seams of their costumes fusing with their skin, their playful masks becoming their true faces. Why stop at candy when I can play with their very souls? She crooned, twirling in delight. Her bony hands clapped together, sending sparks flying from her fingertips. The spell was already taking shape in her mind, a delicate weave of curses and dark magic. She would ensure that the moment they pulled on their costumes, their bodies would betray them. The ghosts would float, the vampire thirst, the werewolf howl, forever locked in a form they thought was harmless. Now that, my sweet, unsuspecting darlings, that will make you talk for years to come. She paused, tilting her head thoughtfully. Though it's a shame I won't hear those conversations, but perhaps the wind will carry their terror to me. A cackle burst from her lips, sharp and shrill. She felt the familiar thrill rise inside her. This was the sort of mischief she craved, something that wouldn't just be feared, but felt. She would take their innocent revelry, their safe little world of make-believe, and rip the veil from their eyes. Let them see the real monsters in their midst. She turned, eyes gleaming as she pulled a long-forgotten book from the highest shelf. Flesh and Fabric, the Craft of Eternal Masks. Dust cascaded off the cover in waves, revealing the sigil of a twisted, screaming face. Oh yes, she whispered, opening the book with reverence. This will be my masterpiece. The plan unfolds. A wicked plot. The witch's crooked fingers danced over her potion's shelf, plucking jars and vials with gleeful purpose. Every spell needs its special ingredients, she hummed, her voice lilting like the wind through brittle bones. She set her cauldron to boil, tossing in a handful of bat wings like one would throw breadcrumbs to pigeons. They fizzled, dissolving into the thickening brew. But this is no ordinary spell, she muttered, her eyes gleaming. Oh no, this requires a touch of the modern world, doesn't it? She twirled her way to a jar filled with something shimmering, tiny, glittering fragments suspended in murky liquid. The first ingredient, she mused, holding it up to the flickering firelight, a pinch of vanity. She uncorked the bottle and with a sneer, sprinkled the shimmering dust into the cauldron. These children, she hissed, dressed as witches, vampires, superheroes, all while their little minds brim with their own reflections. Every costume, a mirror. They do not wish to become anything but themselves, only shinier, prettier, more perfect. The brew burbled, thickening with the lust for likes, the hunger for admiration. Let them be consumed by the very image they craft. Let them lose themselves in their own desire to be adored. With a chuckle, she stirred the mixture, watching as the cauldron glowed faintly, the color of a smartphone screen lighting up a face in the dark. Next, she pulled a jar from the bottom shelf, its label scrawled with spider-like handwriting, Sweet Lies. Inside was a sticky, honey-like substance. She dragged a crooked nail through the goo, letting it drip slowly into the pot. And what is childhood now but a series of sweet lies, she murmured, her voice dripping with contempt. They tell them the world is safe, that monsters hide only under the bed, not in plain sight. Every kiss on the forehead, every bedtime story, all sugar-coated lies. The cauldron hissed as the honey met the boiling concoction. Let them taste the truth this year. Let them see what happens when you pull back the curtain and find there are no heroes, only hollow masks. The mixture churned and darkened, taking on the color of midnight skies. The witch cackled softly. Oh, but I'm not finished yet. She hobbled over to another shelf, pulling down a small vial labeled Spoiled Joy. It glowed faintly, a deep, sickly yellow, like the dull embers of a forgotten fire. Ah, yes, she purred. What is a child's life without overindulgence? She uncorked the bottle and let the foul-smelling liquid drip into the pot. These little creatures, gluttons for sweets, for toys, for attention. Their tiny hands always reaching, never satisfied. Each Halloween, they beg for more. More candy, more treats, more, more, more. She spat the last word, her voice rising like a storm. Let them learn the consequence of endless hunger. Let their desires devour them. Let the candy taste like ash in their mouths, once their hollow stomachs are full. She stirred the brew once more, watching as the potion thickened, each bubble rising sluggishly before popping with a faint hiss. Overindulgence always leads to rot, she said with a knowing smile. The room dimmed as the brew continued to change, thickening into something darker, something more potent. But it wasn't complete. No, not yet. It needed one final touch, something truly wicked. She strode over to her most prized shelf and pulled down a tiny, fragile jar labeled Lost Time. Inside, barely visible, was a single glowing thread, shimmering with all the missed moments of childhood untouched books. Forgotten afternoons playing outside, stolen minutes spent glued to screens instead of life. Ah, here it is, the witch whispered, holding the jar delicately. The thing these children treasure most, and yet let slip through their fingers. Time. Her voice was soft, almost reverent. Time, wasted on flashing lights and hollow entertainment. They no longer run through fields, or climb trees, or lose themselves in the wonder of the world. No, they trade their childhoods for pixels and blinking notifications. With a sharp flick of her wrist, she released the thread into the cauldron. It glowed briefly before being swallowed by the darkness. The cauldron simmered, its contents now a deep, inky black, shimmering with flecks of gold. And there it is, she sighed, stepping back from the cauldron, admiring her handiwork. A brew to trap them, to bind them to their own choices. The princess will never stop preening. The monster will never stop hunting. The hero will forever fight a war he can never win. She let out a low, satisfied chuckle. Let them wear their costumes forever. Let them become what they pretend to be. I'll give them their wish, immortality in a form they never asked for. The brew pulsed, sending dark ripples across the surface. The witch raised her hands, her eyes gleaming with triumph. Oh yes, this will do. This will do nicely. Come Halloween night, they will become more than just children in costumes. They will become the masks they wear. No more pretend. No more games. Just forever. She grinned, wide and wicked, her hands poised over the cauldron. A spell for the modern child, she hissed, who has forgotten how to fear. And with that, she cast the final incantation, sealing the spell with a soft whisper. The wind outside howled. The shadows in her lair deepened, and the cauldron bubbled violently one last time before going still. It's done, she said, stepping back with a cackle. This year they'll learn. Oh, they'll learn. Halloween night. Mischief in motion. Halloween night descended like a velvet curtain, and the witch was ready. She stood hidden in the shadows of a gnarled oak tree, watching as the town lit up with the flickering glow of jack-o'-lanterns, the laughter of children spilling into the air like the chime of broken bells. Each house was adorned with fake cobwebs, glowing skeletons, and inflatable ghosts bobbing lazily in the breeze. Ah, how quaint, the witch mused, peering through her enchanted mirror, its surface showing every corner of the town. Children raced from door to door, their costumes vibrant in the pale moonlight. Witches, vampires, werewolves, princesses, all running with their buckets, screaming with delight at the promise of sweets. The perfect stage for her wicked play. She raised her hands, her bony fingers tracing patterns in the air. Let the show begin, she whispered, her voice barely audible over the wind. The spell slipped from her lips like a secret, curling through the night, wrapping itself around the town. Invisible, but oh, how it pulsed with dark intent. The first sign came from a house on Oak Street where a group of children, giggling, full of excitement, paused to compare their spoils. One boy, dressed as a pirate, held up his sack of candy triumphantly. I'm gonna have so much tonight, I'll explode, he boasted. But as he reached into the bag, his hand trembled. The sack seemed to pulse, almost as if it were alive. Suddenly, his fingers stuck to the bag. Huh, he muttered, tugging, but it wouldn't release him. The material of the sack slithered, creeping up his arm. He screamed as it began to fuse with his skin, becoming one with his flesh. His eyes widened in terror as his costume, once a cheap eye patch and plastic sword, began to twist into something grotesque, his hand morphing into a cruel, hooked claw, his mouth filled with jagged, blackened teeth. He stumbled back, but it was too late. his transformation complete. He was no longer a boy pretending to be a pirate. He was a pirate, forever cursed to plunder, lost to the sea of his own greed. Down the street, a girl dressed as a princess twirled in her sparkly gown, oblivious to the danger. She pirouette, her glittering tiara catching the light. "Look at me, I'm the queen," she sang. But as she danced, the satin of her gown stiffened, the fabric crawling up her legs, tightening like iron chains. Her tiara sank into her scalp, the metal twisting, digging deep. Her smile faltered as the gown constricted, turning into brittle, ancient cloth that crumbled at her touch. Her skin paled, cracking like porcelain, as her dainty shoes grew into jagged, thorned heels that rooted her to the spot. The laughter of her friends faded as they backed away, horrified, watching as she became a twisted, haughty relic, an ancient queen with a permanent sneer. Her eyes, once bright with excitement, were now hollow, glassy orbs locked in a permanent, joyless reign over nothing. The witch chuckled to herself, her fingers tapping on the mirror's surface as the chaos unfolded. "What fun," she muttered, watching the town slip further into madness. She glanced toward Maple Avenue, where a boy dressed as a werewolf had started to howl, more in terror than in play. His costume clung to him now, the fake fur spreading like wildfire across his body, weaving into his flesh. His spine arched, his fingers curled into claws, and his teeth sharpened to savage points. His bones cracked and stretched, forcing him down onto all fours. His eyes, wild and terrified, darted toward his mother, who was frozen on the porch, horrified. "Mom," he tried to scream, but all that escaped his throat was a guttural, beastly growl. He lunged toward her, no longer in control of his limbs, his humanity slipping away with every breath. His mother shrieked, stumbling back, and slammed the door, locking her son, now fully beast in the cold night. Inside, she collapsed, breathless, not knowing if she should scream or mourn. And still, the witch's spell spread, rippling through the town like the first dark wave of a storm. Everywhere, children were falling victim to their own fantasies. The boy who wore the Frankenstein mask stumbled through the streets, his body now lumbering and massive, bolts jutting from his neck. A group of skeletons watched in horror as their limbs turned brittle, their flesh fading to reveal pale, grinning bones beneath. A little witch, barely 5 years old, cackled with glee until her nose elongated. Her skin turned green and her tiny hands curled into claws, her voice now a shrill screech she couldn't control. But it wasn't just the transformations that made the night terrifying. It was the aftermath. Children, once so full of joy, now prowled the streets in confused horror, some sobbing, others growling, others still frozen in fear, unable to process what they had become. The streets were alive with screams, but they were no longer the playful shrieks of trick-or-treating. They were real, raw, terrified. There were moments of absurdity amidst the terror. One boy, dressed as a giant hot dog, found himself wriggling down the street, his arms fused to his sides, mustard dripping from his head. He flopped helplessly in front of a group of once zombie children, who now, as actual zombies, stared at him with dead, hollow eyes, their hunger for flesh evident. For a brief comedic second, the hot dog boy squirmed, muttering, "I'm not real food," before he was chased down the street by the slow-moving horde. But for every absurd moment, there was a scene far more grotesque. A boy, barely six, had dressed as a knight, his plastic sword clutched in his hand. But now, the sword had become real, heavy in his grip, and his armor had fused to his skin, cutting into him with every movement. He tried to swing the sword to protect himself, but it was too heavy, too sharp, slicing through his own arm as he struggled. Blood splattered the pavement, mixing with the spilled candy that littered the ground. He fell to his knees, tears streaming down his face, unable to free himself from the burden of his costume. The witch watched it all unfold, her laughter filling the air, though no one could hear it. She admired the tapestry of chaos she had woven, each thread pulling tighter, each child becoming a permanent fixture in her twisted game. "Oh, what a glorious sight," she cackled. "Childhood stolen in an instant. Mess now permanent. Isn't this what they wanted? To be something else? Well, I've simply granted their wish. As the night wore on, the streets fell eerily silent, the once bustling trick-or-treaters now shadows of their former selves. Parents locked their doors, peeking through windows, hoping it was all just a nightmare. But the witch knew better. There would be no waking from this. And as the moon reached its peak, casting its pale glow over the wreckage of what had been a normal Halloween night, the witch whispered into the wind, "Happy Halloween, my dears. May you never forget the night you truly became what you pretended to be." And with a final laugh, she melted back into the shadows, her work complete. The aftermath, a legacy of fear. The sun rose on the shattered town, but the light did little to dispel the shadows that now clung to the streets. The remnants of Halloween, candy wrappers, broken decorations, and discarded costumes, lay scattered like debris from a storm. The children, they were no longer children. Their faces, once full of excitement and innocence, now bore the weight of a reality too cruel to comprehend. They were monsters, permanently trapped in the very nightmares they had thought were only for fun. Parents locked themselves in their homes, afraid of their own offspring, their minds torn between love and terror. The town buzzed with confusion, rumors flying about curses, government conspiracies, or perhaps some collective delusion. But deep down, they all felt it. This was real. The horror was not a dream, not a prank. It was the new reality. The news anchor spoke in hushed tones, no longer able to plaster over the fear with saccharine reassurances. Special reports showed images of the once proud princesses weeping with cracked porcelain faces, werewolves howling in their backyards, pirates forever clutched by the cold iron of their hooks. Headlines screamed Halloween disaster leaves children transformed and authorities baffled by mysterious curse. But there was no solution, no magic antidote, no way back. And deep within her lair, the witch sat, a cup of something dark and steaming in her bony hand, her crooked legs crossed as she rewatched the night's events through the shimmer of her enchanted mirror. The scenes replayed like a dark, twisted film. The boy turning into a pirate, the little princess hardening into a hollow queen, the hot dog boy being chased down the street by a zombie horde. Every scream, every tear, every horrified gasp sent shivers of delight down her spine. "Ah," she sighed contentedly, swirling her drink. "What a night, what a perfect night." She took a slow sip, watching with glee as the mirror replayed the chaos in perfect detail. "I must say, I outdid myself this time." Just as she was about to settle back for another round of self-congratulation, the air in her lair rippled. A figure tall and cloaked in mist appeared before her, glowing faintly with an ethereal light. Its voice was deep, echoing with the power of the ancient world. "You've gone too far, witch," it boomed, its eyes narrowing in disapproval. This was not in the spirit of Halloween. The witch raised an eyebrow, unimpressed. "Oh, please," she drawled, rolling her eyes and waving her hand dismissively. "You've all gone soft. Not in the spirit, you say? Well, forgive me for reminding humans what real fear is." Another being materialized, this one wreathed in shadows, its voice a whisper that could chill even the dead. "Halloween is for harmless scares. You've broken the balance, toyed too much with their lives." The witch let out a snort, a sound so sharp it could have sliced through the air. "Harmless." She stood, setting down her cup and glaring at her ghostly visitors. "Since when has fear been harmless? Have you forgotten what this night is truly about? It's not candy and costumes. It's power. It's reminding these mortals of what lurks beneath the surface, what's always waiting for them in the dark." "You've made them suffer too much," a third voice said, this one a figure draped in fire, eyes burning with judgment. "You took their childhoods from them." The witch cackled, the sound bouncing off the walls of her lair. "Childhoods. You think they had childhoods to begin with? These children are so wrapped up in their screens and shallow little lives that they wouldn't know magic if it slapped them in the face. All I've done is show them what they've been asking for, something real to be scared of." The beings exchanged uneasy glances, but none dared to challenge her directly. She leaned closer, her voice dropping to a sinister whisper. "You're all afraid of change. That's what this is. You think Halloween should be all plastic skeletons and friendly ghosts. But that's not the Halloween I know. My Halloween is about teaching these humans that their little lives are fragile, that fear is real, and that they can be broken as easily as a piece of candy. The fire-wreathed figure stepped forward, its eyes glowing hotter. And what of next year, witch? Will you continue this madness, or will you return to the old ways, scares that fade with the sunrise? She gave a slow, menacing smile, her sharp teeth gleaming in the dim light. Next year, she mused, turning her back on them and gazing into her mirror again. Oh, I'm just getting started. This was merely a warm-up. The misty figure shook its head in exasperation. You risk too much, even for someone like you. The witch spun on her heel, her eyes blazing. Risk? You think this is about risk? These humans are no better than we are. They'll burn witches alive if it suits them. They'll tear each other apart over nothing. They're savage creatures pretending to be civilized, hiding behind their little rules and customs. And every now and then, they need to be reminded of their place. She tilted her head, her eyes glinting with malice. I'm simply giving them a taste of their own cruelty. A lesson, if you will. The shadows around the figures flickered, their disapproval thick in the air. But none of them could deny the truth of her words. So, will I do something less dramatic next year? She cackled, her laughter filling the room with dark joy. Absolutely not. She turned back to the mirror, watching as the town tried to piece itself together, parents weeping over their monstrous children, the night forever changed. Oh, I think I found my rhythm. And next Halloween? She grinned wickedly. Next Halloween, they'll be begging for a repeat. I'll make sure of it. The beings, defeated, faded from the room one by one, their warnings trailing off into silence. The witch sat down, crossing her legs once more, and raised her cup in a mock toast to the mirror. To next year, she whispered, her eyes glittering with wicked intent, and the years to come. The wind outside howled in agreement, carrying her laughter across the dark woods as she leaned back, satisfied with the chaos she had sown. Halloween, after all, was only fun if it left a lasting impression. And this one, she knew, would be remembered for generations. And there you have it, dear listeners. The Witch's Mischief in all its wicked, twisted glory. A reminder that even the most innocent costumes and harmless fun can hide something far more sinister. As the spell wears off and the town is left forever changed, it makes you wonder, what truly lurks behind the masks we wear? Are we ever really safe, even on a night as magical as Halloween? Thank you for joining me tonight for another eerie tale here on the Midnight Tales podcast. If you enjoyed the story, be sure to visit us at midnighttales.org, where you can explore more chilling stories and dive deeper into the dark corners of the supernatural. And don't forget, Halloween is only the beginning. There's plenty more lurking in the shadows, waiting to be uncovered. As always, this story and others can be purchased on the website as an ebook for yours to keep. Until next time, sleep tight if you can.